From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 12th day of August 2019. It's USDA Crop Production Report Day, and it was a doozy. We'll hear more about that from Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, along with University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs. And we'll take a look at how it's impacted the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. And along the way, of course, I'll give you all the numbers and update you on the agricultural news for the afternoon right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Nearby contract in the corn down sharply after today, this morning's report. 25 cents lower at 385 and a quarter. December 392 and three quarters down 25. And the March 25 lower at $4.03 and a quarter of a cent. May futures off 25 at 409 and July down 24 and three quarters at 412 and three quarters. Next year's December 407 and a half, seven and a half lower. August soybeans down 12 and a quarter at 861. 1.5 November at 879 and a quarter, 12.5 lower in January. Futures down 12 cents at 892 and three quarters. The March at 905 at a quarter, 10 and three quarters lower. Next year's November beans at 941, down 6.5 cents. The bean oil 13 cents higher at 29.64. The bean meal at 291.90, down 480. Wheat futures were off at 27 and three quarters of a cent in the September at 471 and three quarters for the soft red. The hard red at 392 at a quarter, down 24. 4¾ cents. Live cattle futures in the August, the $3 limit lower at 105 and a nickel. October at 103.75, also down the $3 limit. The expanded limit for the feeder cattle down 450 at 134.40, and the October there at 133.75, down 450. And lean hogs, 15 cents higher in the August at $79.17.5. October at $67.07.5, up a dime for the day. Energy's trading the crude oil 25 cents higher at this hour. Ethanol futures about 10 cents lower. Heating oil is 2/10 of a cent lower, and gasoline on the RBOB is down a penny at $1.66 3/10 of a cent. Well, we're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to take a look at these numbers and see what was trading for the day after the USDA reports. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being with us. It's the year of the nine.
Oh, boy. Is it? It was the year of the nine the way up and the year of the nine the way down, but it's just a brutal, brutal day today. The numbers, it's kind of like Ross Perot's running mate, Admiral, was it Woodstock? Fuzzy math, maybe?
Something along those lines.
When you look at the raw acreage numbers, we're just about where we were last year, which is kind of hard to believe. Then you look at 11 million prevent plant corn and lower 4 million per ramp plant beans, you know, where do they put those in? They were going to put them in from the top there. The intentions was to plant, you know, over 100 million corn acres, which is kind of hard to believe unless everybody looked at a wet hole and say, hey, that's going to be corn acres for insurance purposes. So a lot of math involved, but, you know, this these numbers were resurveyed. And they're not going to change these numbers, and these numbers are trade's going to go with here for a while, so it kind of suggests that you know, the market could be a little defensive here until demand comes in underneath the marketplace. Expanded limits tomorrow on corn be 45 cents. The synthetics projected corn to open in this 387, 389 in the D's, which would be about 6, maybe 7 cents. Since lower, there's over 40-some thousand contracts of these corn for sale for most of the day, even going into the close there, Todd.
Yeah, so detailing some of the numbers, the harvested acres from USDA at 82 million. However, the planted acres set at 90 million, and as you said, there were somewhat 11.2 million acres in the prevent plant as those numbers were released from FSA, and that's actually incorporated into the figures that USDA gave us today. So that's where you came up with that 100 million plus for corn. They said the average yield is now 169.5 million acres back in June. The World Agricultural Outlook Board thought maybe 166. This was a survey of farmers and then some adjustments by USDA, so up 3.5 bushels. We won't get any objective yield survey results until the September report. I suppose a lot is being laid upon that report now, and maybe the October report as well. However, when you consider all of these numbers, it's not the new crop, at least at this point, I don't think, that will be bothering farmers so much. I suspect they're awfully worried about the corn they have in the bin, and maybe more importantly, in the elevator. Have you been getting calls today about that?
Well, not necessarily. We had calls prior to this. Today was damage control from 11 from 11 on till the closing bell. But yeah, that's a concern. And you know, there's going to be some recovery in through here. Cash corn's you know, under $4. We're looking at $3 cash corn. We're not going to slow down demand with that type of price. Other than maybe some feed wheat substitutions there in the west due to the wheat harvest having a little bigger feed wheat number incorporated in today's and just the economics of it. And typically, you know, whenever wheat harvest wraps up, they incorporate a little bit more wheat into the feed. But I believe, you know, ethanol demand's not as bad. Well, I can't totally go against the numbers, but I don't think it's that terribly bad. And also, too, we still have a lot of livestock to feed in through here. So we'll watch the demand figures and even the quarterly grain stocks report here as we wrap up the year. Needing to move stuff, move it. Get your money replaced with a call option. Got to go out to the D's or March where we got some time to go. Next market maker, we'll have to see if the old Chip's crop tour finds the same results or not. I think they're going to go ahead and count stocks and assume that stock's going to put some errors on it, and so it'll be interesting to see what type of survey numbers come out of that tour, what type of observations they come up with, too, also there, Todd.
Yeah, we'll be watching that Pro Farmer crop tour pretty closely, and of course they'll update us each and every day on Illinois Public Media and willag.org. The soybean numbers today, they now have the planted acreage at 76.7 million acres. Boy, that's a low figure. It was 80 million in July. Yield went, did not change. It remained at 48.5 million acres. I think there's about, 4.5 million prevent plant acres even in the soybean number. And while that looks like it should be an awful friendly number, I guess it was just dragged down with the corn today.
Yeah, if wheat down 30 cents most of the day, you know, bouncing back a little bit on the close and corn down the limit, it's hard for beans to move on their own. But, you know, this bean supply demand balance sheet can't even get tighter yet. It's hard to believe that the beans I've been looking at is going to be average as a nation 48.5. I think most analysts would probably look at another 2 to 3 bushels down here. If we miss these range here the next day or two, then two, just the timing on the beans are just running out of time. Demand-wise, you know, we factored in we're not ever going to sell one little bit of bean to China from here on out. So, you know, we built in a lot of bearish news in the bean sector. Even though 750 million bushel beans is plenty, and even though basis on new crop beans is 50 cents under, you know, suggests there's still a lot of beans around to be marketed, and also new old crop beans, a lot of areas are getting plugged up on old beans. So it's going to struggle, but beans might be in a situation where they could probably bounce a little bit more than the corn and wheat.
Have you had enough time to consider what all of this means moving forward into the fall time frame?
Well, that's a great question. Technically and fundamentally, we're going to be defensive for a while. The head and shoulders corn top's intact. Downside risk in December futures is probably 370 now if they want to go ahead and push this thing lower in through here. Fundamentally, if we see these rains develop here and we receive some good 1 to 2 inches of rain in the next 24 hours, that's going to help stabilize the crop in some areas, if not help the crop, you know, quite a bit. And that's going to trigger some cash sales or keep a lid on the cash side as producers unload some old crop and maybe add some new crops here if we don't fall apart too far to the downside here. So the $4.50-plus corn and the $10-plus beans is going to be on hold. And so you got to kind of adjust your marketing plan there, and hopefully guys made a few sales on the way up and had a little bit of downside protection. Going back to the old KISS program we've talked about quite a bit, you know, having a $4 floor and a $9.50, $10 floor, and then see what happens.
I know you've been busy, but do you have numbers for this afternoon's crop conditions report?
I did. I don't know what happened to them.
Oh, that's okay. It's been one of those kinds of days, hasn't it? Hey, rather than going there, go to livestock, because they had a tough day, both limit lower in live cattle and feeder cattle.
Fire at a packing plant in Kansas. I don't know if it was a Tyson plant or...
It was.
They slaughter anywhere from 27,000 to 32,000 head a week. So that's going to back up the fats here, and so naturally, uncertainty like that, they went on the defensive there right out of the chute and finished limit down also. So if you were long corn, long cattle, long feeders, it wasn't a very good day.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Over the noon hour, I ran upstairs here in Mumford Hall to see what Todd Hubbs had to say about today's USDA report. He simply thought it was a head-scratcher.
Corn, bearish, soybeans, bullish. That's my take on those USDA reports. The 90 million planted acres for corn, quite a few more than I thought. When you include the FSA projections of 11.2 million planted acres for corn, that implies that the base corn acreage this year was over 101 million acres. It's a bit of a head scratcher. When you look at USDA's 2019-20 projections of 82 million harvested acres, I think that 8 million gap between planted and harvested might be a little low. But they also raised corn yield to 169.5 bushels an acre, which is a 3.5 bushel jump. While we've seen, and in their projections, they had both Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio down 20 bushels from over 20 bushels from last year. The numbers were very bearish on the supply side for corn, if true. I don't think the total reckoning is there yet. We'll see as we move through September and October. Soybeans, really supportive. There are over 4 million prevent plant acres of soybeans, supposedly, with 76.7 million acres planted. That puts us right in line with a lot of the expectations about soybean acres, unlike corn. But overall, I mean, it was a real shocker to corn markets, and I think the price is going to reflect that for a while.
Hubbs says there isn't a whole lot those with old crop corn yet to sell can do at this point, except wait.
We're not probably going to get any clarification until we get deep into September when the combines start running, or we get more clarification on the acreage numbers as we move through the September FSA reports. So we're in a point right now where immediately you're going to see a price fall. It's pretty dramatic. Try to wait that out and see what happens with your basis locally is what I would do, particularly if you want to hold it on. If you can hold on for a little bit longer, you may get a chance there at the end if the yield and the acreage get adjusted. It's still a bit of a head-scratcher to me that we planned on planting over 101 million acres of corn this year, and that harvested acreage number, 82 million acres, is correct. But these are the numbers we have, and we're going to have to live with them until they get updated or proven correct. So if you're thinking about marking old crop corn, you definitely missed a window there in early July with, I think, reasonable expectations of a lower corn crop than what we're currently seeing. So a couple of strategies in place. Try to wait it out a little while and see if these numbers revert back to where everybody thinks, or start putting plans in place to move some of this old crop corn. But don't do it right now. Give it a little while to settle out.
And his expectation is that the objective yield survey to be included in the September USDA crop production report will provide some additional clarity.
based on what I've seen in the Eastern Corn Belt, we've lost quite a bit of yield on corn, more than even what USDA is currently projecting. I think the yield number will come down in September, but so that's what I think. I think you'll see once we get the objective in there and we start looking at some of these ear counts and weights, particularly when we get into October, I think you'll see the crop's not as good as what USDA is currently projecting. But it's going to take time for that to happen. We're going to start seeing some yield numbers come in September, but this couldn't have been worse for the corn market and for folks looking to market old crop corn. And there's a lot of questions about those numbers to me.
That's Todd Hubbs from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois, talking about today's USDA reports. In today's agricultural news, we'll reach back to Friday afternoon when EPA exempted 4 billion gallons of biofuels from the RFS. The agency reported Friday it had granted 31 waivers to small U.S. refineries in 2018, freeing them of their mandate under the renewable fuel standard to blend biofuels like ethanol into their gasoline. The exemptions covered more than 4 billion gallons and renewed criticism from the corn and ethanol industries that the Trump administration is putting the interest of oil refiners ahead of farmers. The Trump administration in 2017 and 2018 approved a total of 66 waivers, more than the combined total from the prior 4 years. The 2018 total was down slightly from the 35 waivers approved in 2017. However, EPA also denied 6 requests for exemptions, more than in the previous 2 years. Opponents of the waivers argue they saved the oil industry hundreds of millions of dollars while threatening demand for ethanol, a huge market for corn growers who are already reeling from the Trump administration's trade disputes. "Mr. President, you proudly stand with farmers, but your EPA is not following through," said the National Corn Growers Association President Lynn Crisp in a statement. Biofuels groups late last month asked the D.C. Circuit Court, by the way, of Appeals to revive their lawsuit over EPA's use of exemptions. The challenge has been on hold for more than a year. Let's stay in Washington, D.C., and with the Trump administration, this time we'll turn to trade talks, the USMCA, language in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement that allows countries to block the formation of panels to hear certain trade disputes, has emerged as a fault line in negotiations between U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. Lighthizer, wary of giving international bodies too much power, defends the provision as a way to prevent a potential attack on U.S. anti-dumping and countervailing duties, measures the Trump administration has used against China and other countries. But House Democrats fear Mexico could use the provision to block the U.S. from opening a case against the country if it fails to honor its labor commitments under USMCA. Whether Lighthizer or the Democrats gives ground on the issue will have consequences for USMCA's future, as well as behind-the-scenes battles in Washington over the framework for future trade agreements. Trump's trade chief succeeded in getting the provision at issue carried over from NAFTA's government-to-government dispute settlement system. No case has been filed under the system in nearly 20 years. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, let's take a look now at the cash grain market with Amy Sage. She's at the Andersons and has been, I suppose, like everybody else, trying to make their way through the numbers that came from USDA this morning. But it was a shocker there today, Amy. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It was a shocker.
Well, what was the reaction in-house?
Yep. So I think that while we knew that there was a high acreage number was possible here at the 90 million, I think the combination of having 11.2 million prevent plants and 90 million planted acres is what we're kind of trying to work through and figure out, you know, how that number, what numbers add up to get to that. So that's something that we're looking through. From a farmer reaction here on the cash grain market, really, you know, a lot of head scratching at this point, especially because I think people are still needing a rain, and we've gotten a little bit here and there, but we're still needing a rain, especially with the yield going from 166 to 169.5. So we actually saw a little bit of buying activity. To be honest, as opposed to selling here, but not a lot of activity in general from the cash market.
Yeah, so the 166 was a World Ag Outlook Board number, and that was just a guess, right, in
sure.
June. And
yep.
That was from the WASDE. The 169.5 is a farmer survey. I don't know. And I've been in corn. I've been in the May corn here, and it's way better, I think, than most people expect it would be. But Iowa must be good. I would think Kansas must be good. Nebraska must be really good.
Yes, and I think that that's kind of what people are struggling to get a handle on is how good is the good corn that's out there and how bad is the corn that's suffering. So, like you say, I mean, there's most certainly potential out there, particularly in the May-planted corn. Of course, we've been dry, but it's trying to get a handle on what's good and what's bad and how much of each is there, you know, because there is some short corn out there that got planted in less than ideal conditions. And you can see on some of the lighter soils that there's pretty significant stress. It's just a question of how much, you know.
Yeah. So on a Twitter account over the weekend, and I think people can go back and take a look at this, might pull it up at Commodity Week. I was asking or answering quite a few questions, but I was asking questions of Emerson Navsiger because I'd been in my own field trying to figure out what numbers he uses in the formula. And usually, and people will recognize this, they divide by 90,000 for kernels per bushel. That's an old formula, he says, and he thinks you ought to use 80. At this point.
Yeah, and I've been hearing more of that. And I guess, you know, what we've seen in the past few years is that, you know, we've seen surprisingly better yields than what we've expected in a lot of cases, especially 2017. We saw that in central Illinois anyhow. So, and I've seen several people referencing that, dropping that down another 10,000.
And he suggested 85 under conditions here in Illinois this year.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and 90 if the thing is fired and you're losing leaves. So the other thing then, Amy, is when I do that, and I was in my own field in Logan County, and it's drier there than here.
Okay.
My APH, well, the yield that I come up with at 80 is better than my APH. Now, that was a May 18 corn planting, so that was a good date.
Sure.
But at 85, I'm, you know, 7 bushel under. At 80,000, I'm 7 bushel over.
Yeah, which is a huge swing. I completely believe that. And that's where we had to come from in 17. And even, you know, the Piper City Chatsworth guys last year that were way off, I mean, it had to be something along those lines, because otherwise you just really couldn't quite put your finger on it. But I'm like you. I mean, we have corn at our house that was May 19th planted that could still be APH. It's starting to show stress, but just in the past week. But then we've got corn that, honestly, I would be surprised if it makes 150 bushel on some lighter soil around the Flatville area.
Well, this particular field has two different hybrids in it, and there is a huge, there's what, 50 bushels between the two.
Blah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it depends. But it's been under, I mean, it's stressed.
Sure.
It's not fired way up, but it's fired.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there's a big difference in the hybrids. So fortunately, I wish I had more, a lot more of the one hybrid than the other.
Sure.
But it's about 50-50. But, you know, there is a 50 bushel difference between the hybrids, too. So
yeah.
We'll have to see
That's true.
How things go.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something else, you know, when you planted corn in June, you reduced your maturity, so you're shaving off yield there. Another thing is you're planting a number that wasn't your first choice, more than likely. you know.
No, I think they plant. I don't think that's true. I think they just planted the number they were going to plant.
We didn't.
Well, you're unusual. I'm almost. You're what? Have you asked? I mean, because I'm almost positive that's not the case. There are very few that changed.
Okay. See, I had a lot of guys that were trying to switch to lower maturities once we got into June.
Oh, did you? Now, I asked a couple different salespeople, and they were like, "Well, yeah, I had three. Three people change one field each."
Okay. Well, then yeah, then it's not representative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that you know, I guess is probably irrelevant. But
irrelevant as long as we don't have a freeze, and then it's current, then it's big time relevant.
Well, yes, that's true. Yes, but just from a hybrid standpoint, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
I'm interested to see more detail on this. My other question, if you have one other second.
Sure.
So I'm trying to get a handle on here. Okay, so if I had a prevent plant acre of corn, that's obviously counted in the prevent plant acres. That's obviously an intended corn acre. Then I planted corn as a cover crop on that acre.
FSA would know. Okay. FSA would know that. Yeah, FSA would know that it's a prevent plant acre. They wouldn't know that it.
But they would only count it as a prevent plant acre.
But
would NAS consider that a planted acre?
Because you would have turned it into FSA for MFP at $15, right? However, they would also know that it's a prevent plant acre, so it's not going to get counted.
Okay, that answers my question.
Yeah.
So that will only be counted as a prevent plant acre. That will not be counted as a planted acre, even for NAS.
No, it won't. And when NAS went out to the when they went out again on the resurvey, they went to every field. Now, they didn't talk to every farmer, but if they went to a field before, they went to every field they went to in the first survey, and they looked at it and said, what's it planted to? And then they went to the farmer and said, hey, there's corn here, there's beans here. Is the corn silage? Is it a cover crop, or are you harvested? And the same thing for soybeans, except it would have been, are the soybeans cover crop, or are you harvesting them? So they asked. They asked that question. They truly asked that question.
And I know I had seen that somewhere, but I guess that's what I wasn't sure if they...
No, Lance Honig told me that.
He said that, but it's not counted as a prevent, or it's not counted as a planted acre, even though it's a cover crop.
Correct.
Even though they know it's a cover crop. Okay, great.
Correct.
Great. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Appreciate that.
That was Amy Sage. She's from right here in Champaign County, Illinois.